St. John's Gospel, chapter 5, the account of the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well.
It was just another day. Another day in the life of a man who had been crippled for 38 years. Once again, around that pool of Bethesda. It must have been a pretty dreadful place, with all those people who were crippled, ill, blind, deaf, dumb, a suffering people at a suffering place. It was just another day there. And a man who had been ill, we are told, for 38 years, went there, just as he had often done, regularly done. But a man who felt hopeless, because when the angel came and stirred up the water, and the first one in was healed, he had no one to put him in. He was sick. He was hopeless. another day. Can you, just for a few moments, imagine yourself around that relatively small pool of water, that little tiny inland stream or lake? Where are you there today? You've come to this little healing service this afternoon, I gather, because you are in some way sick. You may be sick in body. You may be crippled in some way. You may have mental health issues. You may be in pain. And it's just another day in that condition. You have come, as it were, to sit round that pool. Can you see yourself sitting there? Can you feel the sense of hopelessness that you've done it day after day after day with just the same condition, going home as in which you went? So it was with this man, and so it is with you today. But this man did not go home in the same condition as he had arrived. He had been carried there, but he walked home on his own two feet and his own two legs, praising God, wondering how it could all have happened. It happened that day quite unexpectedly, because a man, probably dressed in rabbi's uniform or kit, maybe not, a stranger, came and stood near him and said, "Take up your pallet and walk. An impossible thing to do for this man." So, point one, you are by the pool. Point two, the stranger has come to stand alongside you and issue to you a very stern command, but an impossible one to obey. Take up your bed and walk. So, point one is, we are there this evening, around that pool. Point two is that some of us, and at some of my meetings I have taken, all of us will go home and tomorrow morning find that something quite incredible has happened to us. Something we can hardly believe, but it has happened. So, are we, like this man, prepared to do something in faith. He had to pick up his bed. It was in faith, although he hardly knew it was that he did it. I want to point out to you something which a lot of New Testament teachers fail to teach their congregations. And that is that in every single miracle that Jesus did, the person or the persons had to do something themselves. So, the general view is right. We're in need, Jesus comes, works his miracle, and off we go. But it's not like that at all in the New Testament. I have studied it in the Greek for many, many years. It's not like that. The person who was healed, the person who experienced the miracle, always had to do something before the miracle occurred. Take the first one, the turning water into wine. General view, okay. Jesus turned the water into wine. The stewards carried it in to the guest master, the best man. Wonderful wine, best it ever tasted that day or any other day. But it was not like that at all. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. That's what they had to do. Then they had to do something else before this miracle could occur. Carry them in to the master of the feast. Dear friends, they did not set out with wine. They set out with water. And it was when they got there that John in his gospel says, the water which had now become wine, that they took it. A lame man. Get up and walk. Stupid command. Did the miracle happen? And the man get up, finding he could walk, and walked. No. He did not walk, and the miracle would not have happened. He had to step on his feet. Then the miracle happened. Blind man, the pool of Siloam. His eyes covered with mud. Jesus' spittle. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He had to do something. When that man set off, he was completely blind. He did not receive his sight, then wash in the pool of Siloam. He washed in the pool of Siloam, a stupid thing to do. Then he received his sight. Feeding of the 5,000. Give them to me. Stupid. Don't you see the crowds? What's this? Oh, so many. Give the 5 loaves, 2 barley fish to me. And they had to give them. Then what's more, they had to do something else. They had to set off with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, shared amongst 12 of them, and start giving them away. They did not set off with handfuls of loaves and fish. They set out with next to nothing. But it was as they gave them away that they were multiplied. Now, can you see what most New Testament teachers forget to tell their congregations? That the miracles of Jesus only happen when somebody did something. They did not happen and then the person did them. They happen when the person had done them. That's an important point to grasp, and why my many, many people do not experience the healing power of Jesus. God gave me the gift of healing on May the 10th, 9 o'clock, 1969. Did I know I had it? No. What did I have to do? Something I had never ever done in my ministry, because at my theological college they taught me how to bury the dead but not how to heal the sick. So, what I had to do was to go to my 12 members of my church who were sick and do it. I had no guarantee. But as I ministered to them, everyone was healed. I had to do it. Woman, I think I've shared this with you, program for today on television in the Midlands a few years ago. Ladies' night. They wanted somebody to speak to them about divine healing, and they grabbed hold of me because in those days I was good looking. So anyway, they grabbed hold of me. I spoke to them for 50 minutes. A live program, could not be altered or cut or anything. Then Wendy Jones said, "You believe it?" I said, "Yeah." "Do it." "Pardon?" "Do it." There is at the back of this studio a woman we have brought here. I learnt later her name was Nanette Pierce, and she had come from Peterborough. They had brought her specially in an ambulance. She was sitting in a wheelchair at the back of the studio. And Wendy Jones, the compere, said to me, "She has tumour of the spine. She cannot move her hands or her legs. Trevor Deering, you believe it? Go and do it." I wish she'd got up and then had a felt a bit better, but and I said, "Look at the mirror." But I had to do it. Me. A man had to do it before the miracle could happen. Don't you think I ran up those steps full of confidence and boldness? I think I took one step up and two steps back. Anyway, I got to her and I did it. I did what I had to do. This is nothing. I said, "Give me a hand. Get up. Walk." She did not just get up, she jumped up, ran around all the studio, knocking the cameras flying. Wendy Jones, even the compere, got knocked over. Terrible sight. And then it happened. Doors opened. From all over that television area, people had been watching on monitors, and they fled. They came into that room through doors. Accountants, washerwomen, all sorts of people in front of me. They put on the television, if you want to get hold of Trevor Deering, don't phone this studio, we cannot take any more calls, his address is. That was me. You see, the miracle happened. What would I naturally have done? Stood there, watched Jesus, get that woman out of that wheelchair. But it wouldn't have happened. I had to do it. I'm trying to put across to you what I put across to 3,000 people in Singapore, because they never heard it, that the miracle does not happen and then you're healed and you do it. The miracle happens as you do it. Then you have the miracle. That runs all the way through the New Testament ministry of Jesus. Not one miracle happened without it. I'm going to do it. Now, I'm not telling you to give up your medicines and things and give it a try. That's not faith. That's doubt. Don't do it. Let the doctor tell you you're well. And he will. May not agree with how it's done, but he will believe and know that you're healed. It's happened hundreds of times in my ministry. In fact, doctors brought their patients to my meetings in London. Ambulances came. But not one miracle happened by Trevor Deering. I had to do it. Now, I don't know what Jesus is going to tell you to do. I don't know what he's going to... It's related to your illness. But are you willing to do it? Because if you wait for the miracle, you'll wait forever. If you do it, you'll have it. Strange, but it's true. So are you willing to do that? Are you willing to obey for the rest of your life what Jesus, New Testament, tell you to do? Jesus said to obey is better than sacrifice. So, he said to this man, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing befall you. Live in accordance with my teaching and with my instructions, and live as one of my followers, one of my disciples. Live a clean, holy, and healthy, and as far as you can do it, perfect life. Are you willing to do it, says Jesus? Go and sin no more. Because if after I've worked this miracle, and you've fall into sin, you will not only get it back, you will get worse. But not my words, Jesus. So, are we willing to do what he says and follow his way? And finally, this man did not know who had done the miracle. They asked him, because it was a Sabbath day, they scolded him, they questioned him, and he knew it was Jesus. So my final point this afternoon, you're in the crowd, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to live as far as in you lies the Christian life and worship Jesus and thank him and pray to him every day. And finally, do you know it's Jesus? Have you met Jesus? This man met a stranger. Have you met Jesus? Have you a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you care for him? Is he in your life? Is it true, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. It was when I was 19 and an atheist that I became a Jesus man and was healed of sicknesses that would have taken my life before I was 25. I'm 85, so he did a good job. But I have followed him all the way. Sin, yeah, I've fallen short, but I'm a Jesus man. And I'm not afraid. My wife went to be with him on the 1st of December 2014, and I am not afraid to go and join her in the glorious realm above. She'll be there, but most important, Jesus will be there. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we're gathered around the pool, and you know why we're here. You know we've come to this little pool of Stamford Free Church with our needs. And we know that you are here amongst us to make us well as we obey you and follow you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth were strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.